is Douglas Hall calling to order the Board of Commissioners of Lands at about 2:08 on February 17th, 2015. All three commissioners, staff, and a member of the media are present. The first item is the approving the minutes of the February 3rd meeting. As usual, I looked at those, and they seem as I remember. I have a motion to approve the minutes of February 3rd.
So moved. I move to approve the minutes.
Any comments or questions?
Are we talking about the minutes right now?
Yes, we are.
Okay, I just had one concern about item 8. That was the issue regarding the performance evaluation of the executive secretary. And on our last meeting, we generally talked about in June, you know, kind of doing like an overview going forward. I'm fine with that, but I had also said in the last meeting, which didn't make it into these minutes here, that obviously the executive secretary position is an appointed position, and I don't want to be, you know, only required in June to deal with it if we ever decide to make changes. So other than that, I could go ahead with it, but that was my one concern with the minutes that were written before that we were given today.
Well, I must admit I don't quite understand your concern. I was trying to listen carefully.
I guess my concern was I had said at the last meeting when we were discussing it, we talked about in June generally doing like a review, and that's fine.
Okay.
But that's not, I mean, you know, obviously at any, the executive secretary position is an appointed position. I don't want to be limited to only June of any given year of dealing with the executive secretary if we decided to make a change. That's all I was saying.
Well, I don't think that limits anyone to any, it just states that we will do that review on a yearly basis. It doesn't say what we would do any other time. That would be up to the board.
Oh, and I'm fine with that. That's fine. Okay. So I guess that's fine. So I'll make, do you need a second for the motion then?
Okay, so any other comments on the minutes?
No.
All in favor of approving the minutes of February 3rd, say aye.
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 Aye. Approve unanimously. Next item is the approval of loans. We've got five loans for a little over $4 million. Have they been looked at for public purpose?
Doug, this is Tia. They have been looked at for public purpose and reviewed by the Department of Justice. We are having a very difficult time hearing you here.
Hearing who?
Hearing you.
Okay. Well, I'll do my best to speak loudly. Okay. I have a motion to approve the five loans.
This is Matt. I'll make that motion to approve them.
I second. This is Brad.
Any questions or comments? If not, all in favor of approving the five loans, say aye.
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 Aye. Passed unanimously. The next item is the land exchange. We have a land exchange, which I read over the material. It's lengthy as usual, but it looks as though we're getting rid of 120 acres of not very good land and getting 40 acres of valuable land, and the appraisals and everything seem to say that that's worth doing. So this is a proposed exchange that would consolidate our land, which we've been trying to do. Would I have a motion to approve this exchange?
Doug, this is Matt. Can I make a comment quick?
We theoretically should have a motion on the table before we discuss it. I don't know how we want to stick with Robert Rules of Order or not. I guess go ahead and make a comment.
I just wanted to talk about the, first of all, this is listed as an exchange. And, I mean, basically from what I could read here on the, you know, reading over the agenda item number 4, we have a person that's trying to buy some of the BCPL land, 120 acres, which we're seemingly trying to sell right now. That's what we're trying to do. And then we're going to therefore buy in another county a different set of land, 40 acres, which has nothing to do with the other person. The other person doesn't even own that land. So it's not like we're, you know, moving like adjoining parcels and we're just swapping them or something. This is a little bit odd. But I also have concerns about buying more land as a general problem. And I know the general, there's a few people in the legislature that have been working on this right now. And I've talked to a few of them. And my overall concern, going back to stuff we discussed previously, is that the BCPL is not making money on our land year to year. So I guess I'd ask a yes-no question to one of the staff members there, whether it's Tia or Tom. did the BCPL last, in this fiscal year 15, did we make money on our land when we deduct the northern office and we deduct the office?
Okay, I'm going to interrupt only, and again, the board can overrule me if you wish, but this is not, we're discussing something that's not on the agenda. The agenda is a proposed exchange of this land, not whether we make money or not on our timberland. We've discussed that before. That could be put on a future agenda, but it's
we're talking about it later because it's in regards to something T had added to the executive secretary report about an LRB before the legislature.
Well, but we're not on that agenda item.
I know, but this doesn't have anything to do with it. You're asking me as a commissioner, this would be the first vote I would take to buy land, sell or buy land, and I'm asking if we at the board make money on our land.
I guess you could ask that question once we have an item on the agenda, I mean on the table.
So I guess, but my point being, what I'm trying to say, Doug, is you were bringing this motion before us to see whether or not we would vote to sell land for $60,000 and therefore buy another tract of land basically for $60,000 when we're not making any money on the land we're buying. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I'm a no on the motion, so.
And Matt, I hate to be, I try to run this as carefully as I can, but we can't discuss a motion until it's on the table.
All right, well, then you make make the motion and I'll just vote however I need to.
So do I have a motion to approve this land exchange? Well, I will make such a motion just so we get moving ahead. Is there a second? In that case, it fails for a second, so the item is not to be discussed. So I guess we have to move on to the next item. I find that unfortunate because a lot of work has been done on this, apparently, by our staff.
Doug, I'm happy to answer Matt's question. It would come up under the agenda item of the executive secretary's report, and we have distributed a fair amount of information in the last 12 hours that clearly demonstrates that we are making money on our land. Indeed, we are making more money on our land than we are on any other investment at this time.
Okay, so I guess I'd ask you, for the year...
You know what I'm going to do? So we can have the conversation, can we step back and I'll second the motion, and then we can have the discussion and then eventually vote.
Okay, well, that's reasonable. I thank you very much. So we have a motion now made by Secretary La Follette and seconded by Attorney General to consider this land exchange. At that point, I can say, are there any questions or discussion?
Well, I guess only in regards to this land exchange, we're basically selling $60,000. And I'm okay to sell land in Wisconsin because that's our constitutional mission. I just have a problem why we're trying to buy other land. And that, you know, they have it listed here as an exchange. Well, the person that we're buying it from is Tara Leela. They don't even own the tract of land. Supposedly they're going to therefore buy it, and then we're going to exchange it with them. Well, if we want the land, if it's for sale, why wouldn't we just buy it?
Okay, well, you've said that before. It's now officially a proper question, and Tia or someone would like to respond.
Tom, do you want to address this, please?
Sure. In this particular situation, we were looking at disposing of 340s of unproductive land. The adjacent landowner had expressed an interest in it and was actually willing to, in essence, pay a premium on the exchange. In this particular situation, the property that we would be exchanging was appraised at $60,000. The property that they would be acquiring to exchange with us was, I believe, appraised at $64,000, and they're purchasing it for, I believe, $65,000. And so, in essence, in this particular situation, BCPL would actually be receiving a premium over the appraised value, and it made sense to do it as an exchange in this situation.
I guess
not to be picky, but I understand that, I think, but that sort of doesn't address Matt's question about why selling and buying land under this proposed exchange concept.
John Schwartzman is in the Lake Tomahawk office. Is there anything you want to add about the specifics of this exchange, John?
We talked to the Tara Leal person, and they were, very patient, and so was the other landowner, very patient with our process here. And so, we need to think about, the impacts on them too. They've gone ahead and they've spent some resources on getting appraisals, and so, there's an impact on them as well. But I think in this situation, you have landowners who are willing to work together and make all three parties come out, better. And so, it's a win-win-win.
This is Matt here. I said this as I started. I don't have a problem selling the land. If it's worth $60,000, that's not a problem. I'm okay with it. That's our constitutional mission. So seemingly this Tara Leela wants to buy the land. I'm okay with that. My question is, that's in Oneida County. Why are we then buying a tract of land in Forest County that has nothing to do with Tara Leela? They're out there and they're gonna buy it in the private market. We could just buy it in the private market. If we wanted to, we could buy it. We might even get a better deal because clearly we have cash. I just don't see the point of doing this as a buy one, get the other one. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, well, we've used trades for some years in situations where it benefited us. As my memo said yesterday, I was a little puzzled by the letter from San Filippo. This exchange would not be impacted by the legislation that Representative Sanfilippo and Craig have introduced.
I get that, but does Tara Leela own the other tract of land?
No.
So it's not an exchange. They don't own it. We could buy, if we want that tract of land, and that's a separate question, we could buy it. I don't want to buy it, but I'm saying we could. I don't know why these have to go sell one and buy one. It makes no sense to me.
Well, I guess part of another clarification question might be, is the landowner still willing to buy the 120 acres if we cancel the purchase of the 40 acres? Or are they tied together some way? I don't understand. Please explain.
John?
We'd have to ask that question to them and go back to them.
So the two landowners are in connection to each other. It is not totally isolated as Kurt was sort of asking about.
This is Matt.
I'm sorry. Pardon me.
No problem.
Old treasures
no problem.
On my mind. I'm sorry.
John, could you address why this was? Exchanges have been a common tool before we got land bank authority. The only way to achieve our consolidation goals, to improve our timber management efficiency, to enhance public access, all the goals of the Land Bank Authority, which Representative Sanfilippo's legislation that authority would be stripped of the board under that legislation. In the past, before we got Land Bank Authority, the only way to achieve our goals were through these exchanges. And I apologize. I cannot answer the question as to why this particular transaction was set up as an exchange. I'm going to have to ask John to answer that question for me. John, can you elaborate on why we did this one as an exchange?
I think Terry's the one who handled, setting this up. And unfortunately, he was ill today. But, we often do these three-way exchanges. I think the landowners are willing to do that, and they're fairly common, and that we've done exchanges in the past.
Well, I guess this is Matt again. The Roberts parcel, which is the parcel that nobody then owns from Tara Leela, I guess when they buy it, it's listed for $65,000. What if they bought it for $50,000? I mean, we don't know what it's going to be finally, you know, the final purchase price. And so then we would have given away something for $60,000, and then they would have given us something they paid $50,000 for. I'm just saying, I'm okay to sell any land we got, as long as the price is for, you know, the correct assessed value. I just don't think we need to be buying other land. That's not my goal. There could be limited instances where I could see doing a trade for, like, with the counties or the Forest Service to make our land out of theirs or whatever, or maybe to block ours a little better in some instances. This is already a big block of land. It's just making it a little bigger.
Okay,
we don't need to own that other land.
Let me ask another effort to clarify, because I've been on the board for some time. I can remember in the past with situations like this, the one landowner who wanted to get rid of their land, if you will, they would purchase the other piece of land, and then once they owned both lands, we would make a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be, if you want to think about the language, more of a trade. And what Matt's kind of asking now is, in this case, rather than doing it that way, we are selling land. Presumably, we have the money in our hand for a few seconds, and then we're buying land. Why are these two pieces connected? And can one go ahead without the other? That's what I'm trying to understand, and I apologize.
Tom has just suggested to me that there's a small cost savings to BCPL in not going to public auction. And because we had two landowners who were interested in working with us and all of us achieving our objectives in a shuffling of ownership, it looked logical to me. I approve putting it on the board agenda. If the board is uncomfortable with it, then perhaps it should be tabled until I can have a longer conversation with Terry. I apologize for my inability to answer your question. I defer to the board, obviously.
Hey, Tia, this is Matt. My last comment on this issue, I had sent around an email that you forwarded to the other gentleman. I called it Rustic Lane, 120-acre sale. So we're trying to sell 120,000, or excuse me, 120,000. We're trying to sell 120 acres for $60,000. My concern is, if we put that, I mean, we don't know what we're going to make on the timber sales. In theory, we might not, if we don't do any kind of timber sales on it for the next 5-10 years, we'll make nothing on it. If that's the only, I mean, we'll own the land, yes, but we won't make anything on it. And we have a duty here to get money for our beneficiaries. So, I mean, if you want to bring it for a vote at some point or just table it, I'm fine with either. I'm a no on the transaction.
To address your email, Matt, it's just simply incorrect to say that we would be earning a rate of return on the $60,000 that would be received from a direct sale on this purchase. As I have said multiple times in the last 12 hours, BCPL currently has cash reserves of over $100 million. I'm not finished, Matt.
Oh.
We have cash reserves of over $100 million earning less than 1% interest. If we have more cash, that is a disadvantage for our beneficiaries.
Well, the $100 million, I understand that, but that's a decision by the board, seemingly you people, because it's never been broached to me. I know we buy bonds. Is there a reason we keep $100 million and we don't put that down to a smaller number, you know, $40
million? Yes, the reason the number is as large as it is highly undesirable. Our loan demand has dropped. Our bonds available for purchase are limited. It is extremely undesirable to be in this cash position. Selling land and putting it in the bank simply exacerbates an already challenging issue for us. We have no other options at this time. That's why the LRB draft is so egregiously harmful to the trust.
Okay,
let's address that one in the next agenda item.
Well, first of all, there's lots of noise. Can some people reduce that in their offices or whatever? Here's a question, addressing Matt's fiscal concern, maybe. If we went ahead with this, and changed slash purchased the 40-acre piece. Would we make more money on that 40-acre piece through timber, for example, than we would putting the $60,000 into a 1% investment?
Let me just one second here.
The question is yes. The 40 acres that we would receive is timber-producing land. The 120 acres that we're giving up is non-timber-producing land.
I guess I'm asking this question since it's on. I tried to ask it earlier. Now we're directly on it, and Doug alluded to it. We have 70-some thousand acres, 75,000 acres. I asked the question earlier. This last fiscal year, 2015, did we make any money after you subtract expenses for the Northern office and the Madison office? Because I have timber sales from the board of 477, and then I have the Northern office of 530 plus some in the Madison area. So it seems pretty logical to me, on all of our land last year, we didn't make any money. Is that incorrect?
That is incorrect.
How much did we bring in timber sales?
That's the problem with the analysis you're making. The return on investment in real estate right now exceeds the return on investment in our other...
We don't know that. We don't know
yes,
that.
Yes, we do know that.
How much do we have timber sale for last year, the exact dollar amount? Is it the 477?
Let
me interrupt. This is Doug. We're way off on a tangent, which is semi-irrelevant. In order to move ahead, first of all, let me ask Brad, are you comfortable with letting this continue, or shall I try to move to a resolution of this item?
Well, I think it's relevant enough to the agenda item that we can have the discussion without violating the
okay, then that's fine.
Wise.
In that case, thank you, Brad. I'll let the little discussion continue for a while then. Go ahead.
The Attorney General is right. I mean, I guess my only point is we can't know what the land value is from year to year. I mean, long term it will go up. All land, you know, generally goes up. But last year we have concrete numbers that we brought in 477 on timber sales, 477,000. Well, the Northern office alone, which exclusively handles that, they don't do anything with really anything else, that cost us 530. So if we just use those two numbers, we're down 60,000 about. But then there's also the Madison office, which handles a ton with the timber and the land. I know Tia does. I know Tom does. We are losing money on our land overall year to year. We can't know what the land's going to go up in value. We don't know that. It could go down. We don't know. But
yeah,
we do know what we're bringing in timber sales. And if you look at the own BCPL biennial reports from year to year, it usually says we make about $500,000 in timber sales, give or take, you know, 10, 20, 30,000. But usually the expenses for that's the normal fund, are usually about 750. So we're down $250,000.
Matt, let me answer your question. This is John. We're fixing the problem. We have a very fragmented land base, and we were given land bank to try to fix that problem. We receive way more money on our large tracts for timber bids than we do on our small scattered pieces. So as we move land via land bank and through these exchanges into larger land holdings, we are fixing the problem. We are going to be making more and more over time. But we started off with a very disadvantaged situation with having such a scattered land base, and that's why, you know, the legislature in 9 years ago recognized that, you know, we had a scattered land base. It was difficult to manage, and they gave us the tools to fix it, and we are fixing it, and I look forward to giving you data that's showing that we're making more and more money, you know, year after year, and on a very good path to be very profitable.
I don't want to waste.
And this is the tool to do it.
I get that when the tracks are bigger, it's easier to timber. I get that. But I guess I'm saying we've had 10 years of land bank, and we bought $16 million worth of land. So this is, you know, this isn't like our first week of it. And last year we did not bring in, we brought in less money than it cost to handle the land.
Well, some years we make more, Matt, but, the real question is, we should speed up our our land bank process. We'd love to do more transactions and finish land bank sooner, but some of it is opportunity driven. But you know, we are in on a very good process of getting a much better land distribution and land ownership, and with that, we'll be very, you know, profitable, and we can demonstrate that to you, Matt.
Well,
I think what we need is to give have an opportunity to show you the big picture, and you know, and ask for your patience.
Well, that's fine asking for the patience, but I mean, there's no reason that we have to vote to sell this today. I mean, obviously, I have concerns. I don't know where the Attorney General is, but I mean, I don't believe we're making money on the land. That's my opinion.
Yeah, Matt, this is Rich. You know, one of the things that you're ignoring is the appreciation of timberland. Over the last 20 years, according to the timberland data from the National Committee for the Real Estate Investment Fiduciaries, which is a very well thought of national organization, timberland in the United States has increased at an average annual return of 12.3%. I can show you that I have modeled the acquisitions that we have made through land bank since 2006,
mm-hmm.
and I can show you that we've made more money through timberland sales than we would have had I invested that money in the state investment fund.
Well, that's
in addition, Matt, you know, the timberland investments create really important diversification for our investment portfolio.
Well, a couple things of that. We're not giving any money back to our beneficiaries year to year, though. That's part of what we're trying to do.
Well, that's not true because we do generate some income from the timberland sales.
Not when you take away expenses. We're actually down.
Okay, this is Doug again. I think we are being a little repetitive now. And I'm sure it sounds to me like probably discuss the value of land ownership and timber sales expenses in the future. In order to avoid this going on, I'm going to, I guess we have a choice now. If someone, it's now time to vote on that motion, I guess.
Can I ask a question, please?
And we can vote.
May I ask one more question?
One of my fellow board members would prefer not to vote and table it. So if no
Excuse
one wants
me.
To table it, and I'll pause for a minute, then we can actually vote.
Excuse me, may I ask one question, please? This is the Attorney General.
Go ahead.
I heard at one point in the conversation, there was an indication that individuals involved in this process, the landowners and the land purchaser, had invested in getting some appraisals.
That is correct.
If we tabled this till next month, do they lose money? Do we lose the opportunity? Do we know any of those things?
It's possible.
Okay.
This would be the first time in the 10 years I've been here that a land exchange has not been approved by the board. And people up north are accustomed to us following through and getting the job done. And everybody put money on the table for this and worked in good faith for a mutually beneficial outcome. What happens after this, I cannot predict.
I've been on the board a long time, and I agree. My opinion is that the discussion of the fiduciary value of timberland is something that, if Matt wishes to, we can obviously discuss. But I think it's a little inappropriate to apply that to this particular exchange, which has been worked on for a long time. And I would.
I don't want to feel that I'm.
I would suggest
we pass something.
And then, if we wish to have future discussions, we can have the staff prepare information, prepare data, look at investment opportunities, and see what we want to do in the future. And in the future, if a land, if a land quote exchange slash sale is coming up in the future, I would suggest that staff bring it to us at a future agenda item point, and we can then decide if we want to move ahead with it. But let's not stop one that actually has so much time invested already. That's my personal opinion. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. My concern here, this is the Attorney General, is that we've had two experienced members of the legislature have asked us to hold off on this. They don't dictate how we make our decisions, but they do dictate larger policy, and unless there's some clear reason not to, I would prefer to defer to the request of members of the legislature.
So I thank you. I guess that means it boils down to Brad's point, which is a valid one, versus what T has sort of alluded to, and that is what time and money would be lost by not acting. And I don't know how to measure that, I'll be honest. So I guess if the Attorney General wishes to move to table, that would be your option.
This is Tia. Just one final comment. I believe that Representative Sanfilippo is confused because his letter refers to the board deferring action on a BCPL purchase.
Yeah.
This is not a purchase. It is an exchange.
I read your response to Treasurer Domczyk's letter, and I do appreciate the point you're making. I would like, before moving forward, I would like an opportunity to talk with the legislators to find more about their concern and get their position on this. If we were to run into a position that this exchange becomes at risk, or there's a risk that private citizens are going to lose money because of our delay, is it possible for us to have an emergency meeting, of course, properly posted, prior to our next meeting's in 2 weeks. I think delaying it for 2 weeks, for a moment there I was thinking we meet monthly. I think delaying this for 2 weeks isn't an outrageous thing. So I would move to table this till our next meeting.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor of tabling this, say aye.
Aye.
This is Tom. Could I say one last thing?
Aye.
A little out of order, but go ahead.
You've identified two risks, time and money, and I think the most important risk is actually reputational. What Tia had said earlier about people up north being used to working with us and us being dependable partners, I would see this as throwing a pretty big monkey wrench into that. Once you get north of, of Highway 10, it's a small community up there, and the idea that you could put a lot of time and effort into something with an unreliable partner could have some serious repercussions for us.
We are talking about 2 weeks before we take it up again. So I do appreciate what you're saying. I do get that. I just do think because members of the legislature have asked us to defer this decision, I'd like to at least discuss this with them and see if their concerns can be alleviated, and hopefully we can have
a clear direction. Everyone. From a procedure point of view, we're sort of up to our necks in quicksand here. We were right in the middle of a vote, and I think for the record, it probably would be best to sort of re-vote. So there's a motion to table this item. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. I vote no. There's only two votes been cast. I'm confused.
Oh, there was two
ayes.
There
were two ayes.
I voted aye.
Okay. So the record should show that the state treasurer and the attorney general voted aye. And the Secretary voted no. Make sure that's clear. It was a little messy. I'm sorry about that, folks. Okay. I guess now, let me see. Where are we? My computer shut down. Wait a minute. I got to reopen my computer to get to the agenda. Sorry.
I'm having the same problem there, Doug.
I'm unfortunately going to have to break off.
Item number five. Let me make a comment. Not out of order, but before we move ahead, Brad, you raised a good point. Can we sort of count on you to communicate with Tia about anything you learn so she can decide what to do about this item on the next meeting?
Yes.
That's a good plan. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you. And I unfortunately have to break off. I do have something I can't miss. I'm sorry.
Well, I can appreciate that. This has gone on much longer than I would have liked it to, and I apologize.
Hello, Brad.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, so, Brad, are you still there?
Oh, no, I'm not. I need to, or I am, but I'm just taking off.
My question being, if we come to items that are controversial, would you like us to sort of table those as well, because, or not?
We're not voting on anything other than adjournment.
Yeah.
Okay, in that case, we should be all right. So thank you again, and have a good evening.
Thank you, too. Bye.
Let the record show that the Attorney General has left the meeting, and now we're going to move on with item number 5, which is a report by the Executive Secretary. I'll let Tia lead this discussion.
Thanks, Doug. Just got a couple of information items. One is that the governor's budget proposes a new pilot program that would pool smaller agencies, accountants, and IT staff at the Department of Administration in an effort to achieve some yet-to-be-described efficiencies. In talking with our budget analyst, it appears to us that PL was not intended target of this initiative. Both the State of Wisconsin Investment Board and WIDA, who are the other large financial asset managers in state government, were exempted from it. We have a lot of unique skills required to run the software, which is the platform for our financial management. I'm going on a snowmobiling trip with a senior member of the Governor Walker's staff in a week, and was going to talk to them, and I just wanted to let you guys know and ask them whether it really was their intent, and explain to them the distinctions between our staff positions supported by program revenue and some of the other agencies. Further, there would be a concern that trust assets were being diverted from the beneficiaries to pay staff time for another agency. And so I'll be speaking informally when I'm on this up north.
Hey, I'm going to interrupt for just 1 second. This is Matt. One thing that I'd say, and, you know, Tia said she wants to talk to the governor's office informally or whatever. I guess what I'd say is this has been put on the executive secretary report, so it's before us. I'd like for the commissioners, myself, the attorney general, and the secretary of state, for us to make some decisions and how we want to handle some of these things. I guess one of the things, and it's one of the things that you put on your list here, I have a concern when members of the staff are going out and doing things without checking in with the commissioners, and I'll just give a very simple example. I received an email from Representative Sanfilippo's office, which is something you've got on there, LRB 0169, and basically in it, you know, you would given a bunch of information to Representative Sanfilippo's office about the bill that's before them. Well, we hadn't met, and I know I never spoke to anybody at BCPL. I guess I'd ask one yes or no. Did anybody talk to the Attorney General?
I didn't talk to any commissioner other than via email to all commissioners.
Okay, so I guess my point being, LRB, whatever, 0169 is before. Obviously, it's not even introduced. It doesn't even have an assembly bill number. It wasn't that pressing. It wasn't getting passed. I don't know. When those things come up, I believe it, and I would assume that the other commissioners would like this, that we should be involved and told what just given us the information, let us discuss it, and come up with an opinion. Because the email that got sent to Representative Sanfilippo's office, I then had a follow-up conversation with Representative Sanfilippo, and he asked me if that was the board's opinion, meaning mine, the Attorney General, and the Secretary of State. And I said, no, it is not. And I don't think it's prudent for the Executive Secretary to be sending information out without having checked with. I mean, I have a telephone. I'm sure the Attorney General does and the Secretary of State does. But more importantly, we easily could have waited a week or two and figured out where we are on this. Because I generally support the bill. I think we could do some minor changes, you know, with exchanges and so forth. But the email that was sent to Representative Sanfilippo basically trashed the bill. And maybe, for all Tia knew at that exact moment, myself, the Secretary of State and the Attorney General, we all could have loved the bill. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I'm not saying it is. But one would have assumed we would check with the commissioners before we start sending information out, because it sure seems like the commissioners are weighing in, and we didn't.
Yeah, so I put this on. Thanks for that, Matt. As my email indicated, the reason I called Sanfilippo's office is their letter seeking co-sponsorship incorrectly said the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands was unelected. I took it upon myself to call the office and correct the record. It seemed to me to be an egregious error. I didn't think I needed the board's permission to call a legislator's office to tell them that the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands are constitutionally elected officials.
I spoke to Josh later at some point. I saw him in the hall or something. I mentioned that as well. I mean, it's a minor issue. I mean, obviously it's inaccurate. I think what he was referring to is that the three of us don't get elected only on this platform. I mean, we don't run to be commissioners. You're right, we are all elected statewide officials. But I guess when I look at, when I see the email that was sent, there was included various information about loans to Representative Sanfilippo's district, library aid to Representative Sanfilippo's district, which realistically has very little to do with the lands, because as we all know, the Common School Fund is really which does all those loans.
Can I just finish?
The loans come from the Common School Fund, predominantly, and then obviously the library aid does, because that's the fund it's under. It's under the Common School Fund. 92% of our land holdings are in the Normal School Fund. So to include those, District 15 where Representative Sanfilippo has, I mean, it seems to make no sense to me. I mean,
Let me interrupt. I'm going to have to leave pretty soon as well. The Attorney General's already had to leave. I guess the point being, I would support Tia contacting them to make a correction and provide information. I agree with Matt that if we're going to take a position on something, the board should be discussing that, and I'm going to, I'll do it now just to get it done. I'm going to ask, I'm not sure I need to make a motion or not. Matt, you can let me know if you
think.
To ask Tia and the staff to prepare information about this legislation and consider a proposed resolution with our support or opposition for the next meeting. Is that a fair thing to do?
Well, no. I mean, because it's going to be skewed towards the analysis from the board. I guess we should discuss it. The Attorney General, I can read the bill. We can look at the bill, and the three of us could decide, does it have merit or not? And then the board would take the guidance from us. If two of us like it or all three of us like it, well, then that's the board's position. If we all...
But it makes sense to me for us to get advice from our staff.
We already got that advice, and I think it was inaccurate. It basically said this would be the worst thing that would ever happen, and I don't agree with that. And so that's
I guess we're at loggerheads. My other point was going to be with your criticism of providing Representative Sanfilippo's office with information about loans. I guess I'd ask Tia, during your conversation with them, did they ask you for more information, or how did that come about?
Yeah, as a matter of practice, every interaction I have with a legislator includes distributing the information on our loan program and our school aid. I've found that to be a useful way to promote the loan program.
Well, and,
okay.
And that's fine and all.
All right. Well, so to expedite this, let's go on. Tia, go ahead.
Okay. So staff has prepared a fair bit of analysis, talked to a number of investment professionals. Almost every institutional fund in the United States has investments in real estate, and their return on that investment right now exceeds the return on investment of the other investments available to us. There's no way to conclude anything but the fact that LRB, by stripping the board of an investment authority, and diminishes its opportunity to pursue investments that might generate higher rates of return. This is not a dispute of opinion. This is a matter of
fact. It is an opinion. First of all,
okay, Tia, let me interrupt.
I do not want things said that are complete fact when they're not fact.
This is Doug. Let me try to run a meeting here. We discussed this half an hour ago in some sort of some length. Tia's making more points. The Attorney General's not here.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But I guess my point is, you can make these points to me. We are commissioners. But I don't want to, you are a commissioner, I am a commissioner. If you want to make a point about how great the land sales are, I tell you what, Secretary of State, I will listen for an hour if you want. My only point is, I don't want the board
trying to move this along. My point being, without the Attorney General present, and Matt,
if you want to adjourn, that's fine. We can finish this up. I don't care.
I mean, Matt's raised a point about the board's involvement in these decisions. What I'm saying is that I would suggest, given particularly that Brad is not here, that at the next meeting we have an agenda item which is called discussion of LRB blah blah or Assembly Bill X if it becomes that, and for the board, all three of us, to discuss it.
That makes
and
sense,
ask
Doug.
Questions, if necessary, of our staff. And then, at the pleasure of the board, we can decide to do nothing or to do something. That seems to be the most productive way, rather than for the two of us to go on now. Is that a fair thing to say?
Doug, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think the three of us, or if the two at that time, we should discuss the bill before us. And I'm 100% before that. I don't want the board putting out staff analysis. They're on the call with us, we can ask questions, but when it's put out on an open, when a public meeting, it looks like it's the board's position. When it is not my position, and I don't know if it's the Attorney General's or yours, so I think you're 100% right, we should discuss it at our next meeting.
Okay, so that'll be an agenda item for March something or other. Okay, Tia, anything else?
No, I just want to be clear on, what are we putting on the agenda?
We're putting you on a discussion of LRB 1069/1 or the assembly bill that it becomes if it does so before then. The implications of it, the impacts of it, the pros and cons of it for the board members to discuss and take action if we choose.
That makes sense, sir.
Yes, and if I could just add, if it's okay with you guys, Rich and Tom worked very hard on an analysis of rate of return for real estate investments, I think that analysis would be useful as you consider the legislation, and we'll send that out in the next couple of days.
I guess one final thing, Tia, one thing that she had sent out that I completely, Tia, agreed with, was that you had said that, we might want to have more investment opportunities. Obviously, we are limited. I get that. But the real estate that you guys talk about, you say we have a real estate as a holding, it's only land. You mentioned in an email about how large funds diversify and they have big holdings. I know that. I agree with that. But in most cases, like, for example, SWIB, which is obviously government as well, I'll give an example. They bought the Facebook building out in Palo Alto, California for $100 million a few years ago. That's because they make income on it in rent, and then they're looking for it to go up and sell it a few later. We don't necessarily do that same type of stuff. All we can do is hold land. And
yeah, most pension funds in the United States, many pension funds in the United States are invested in timber as an timber land as a real estate investment strategy for diversification of portfolio and earnings potential.
That's all fine, and we can discuss it as a group, but my only point is, year to year, in the last few years, our timber revenues are less than we're spending.
I've heard that 17 times. Please, enough. You make a point about other investments, and again, I've listened to other states discuss that. I mean, I remember several years ago, Arizona bought a piece of land, and then they leased it for a shopping center for millions and millions. I don't think we are allowed to buy
that kind
of real estate. I know in California they own skyscrapers in San Francisco. In Texas they own oil wells. We don't have any oil, I guess. But I don't think we're allowed to do that. Is that true, Tom?
We're not.
That is correct.
Yeah, your available investment options were distributed with today's board packet.
All right.
You want to move adjournment?
Or I ask for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it. All in favor of adjourning, say aye.
That's an aye from Matt.
Aye from Doug. We are adjourned. Stay warm, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.